I know I say this every week, but I love the fact that we have adults, we have teachers that are willing to give of themselves to the point that they can teach these little kids at a level that makes sense to them. It's so amazing. I love that we have that. It's just an amazing opportunity. So thank you if you're part of that. If you want to be a part of that, then chat with Beth, Donna, or Raina, and we will get you set up to be able to be a part of that and be able to teach the kids the things that they need to know on a level that they understand. I also want to take a moment to welcome those of you that are joining us online. We love the fact that we're able to extend our family and welcome you guys from wherever you are, whether you're in Ogle County or whether you are all over the states, the world, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. I know that we have people that are joining us online. Maybe you're traveling, maybe you're sick, whatever the situation is. I love the fact that we have the technology that allows us to welcome you into our extended spiritual family. Listen, if you're in Ogle County, I want to just make a special moment right now to personally invite you. Come on down, and we would love to see you here Sunday mornings at 9:30. We would love to welcome you with a hot cup of coffee, especially now that it's ridiculously cold. And I know it's just starting. I get that. But that's how much I don't like it. The cold is evil. It's bad. It's, anyway, I got to move on because I just want to welcome all you guys and welcome everybody here together. Listen, I know it can be difficult, and I'm talking to those of you online, and I'm talking to those of us here in person. I know it can be difficult to take that first step of whatever decision you may be in the process of making, whether you are thinking about joining us in person or whether you're here this morning and you're thinking, I want to be involved, I want to know more, I want to whatever. I know it can be scary to take that first step. And so I want to just take a little bit of that fear away, and I want to offer you, if you just contact me, just send me a message, send me a note, something. I would love to get together with a cup of coffee and just chat and connect with you and kind of see where you're at and what's going on in your life and in your heart. And maybe that'll help take the pressure off a little bit. So I'm happy to buy you a cup of coffee. I won't drink it myself because, well, I like good things. But I'm happy to buy you a cup of coffee and let's just get together and let's chat. Because I know it can be hard to take that. Trusting is hard, right? And that's what we're going to talk about right now. We're changing our series. We're in the process. It's the very first week of a brand new series called Trust in All Things. Trust in All Things. And we say it's pretty cool. Beth made this DNA strand because here's the reason. The concept of trust should be built into our DNA of who we are as Christians. And so it's a great thing that we have that there. Anyway, so we're in this brand new series. We're starting this brand new series. And we're thinking about what does it mean to trust the Lord with everything? Trust in all things. So what does it mean to trust the Lord with everything? I mean, can we actually do it? Can you, as a person, actually tell me that you're willing to trust the Lord with everything? Maybe I should rephrase that. I don't mean, are you willing to tell me that you trust the Lord with everything? I mean, are you willing to actually trust the Lord with everything? Are you willing to tell the Lord, to tell yourself that you are willing to trust the Lord with everything? And the reality is sometimes we trust, like we say that we trust the Lord, but we kind of hold a little bit back, right? Like that's just the reality of what we do. We say that we're going to trust God, and then we hold on a little bit longer just to make sure everything works out, right? I don't know if maybe I'm crazy. I know I'm crazy, but I don't think I'm crazy about this. We lie to ourselves, and we say, I'm going to trust the Lord, and we do trust the Lord with like 99%, right? And we hold on to that one little just last percent because just in case he messes up, which is crazy to think about, right? And I know it's crazy to think about, but that's the reality. We all do it. But the more you trust, the more you can let go, the more you can actually trust the Lord, then the more promises of his we see come true. It's amazing. We see the Lord's promises come true, and then that helps us trust the Lord more, right? As we see the Lord's promises, we're able to trust the Lord more, and that way the next time something comes up, we're able to trust the Lord again. It's amazing. And so I want to tell you a story just real quick. When we're thinking about holding back a little bit, back in the 90s, when I did driver's ed, and you know, some of you may be thinking, wow, you're really old, and some of you probably are thinking, I've got socks older than you. But back in the 90s, when I was in driver's ed, and maybe they still do this, I don't know. But the driver's ed driver, like the teacher, we got to the point, we did all the classwork, right? Because there's a class section, we did all the classwork, we finished that. And then we had to sign up to drive, right? And so so I signed up, and when I got in the car, I noticed on the passenger side of the car, where the driver's ed teacher was, there was a brake right there. And I thought, well, that's weird, because I'm the one driving, not you. Anyway, so he tells me that he trusts us because he taught us. So he trusts us, but he's got a brake just in case. Now, I will just say, from my perspective, it was really good that he had that brake just in case, because I almost put us in a big ditch. So praise the Lord for the brake, but that gets me to thinking, how many times do we do that with the Lord, right? Like, we say, I trust you, God, but then we have a brake just in case. Just in case it doesn't go the way we think it should go. You know, here's the reality. We all know the best way for things to happen. I know the best, you know, in regards to my situation, I know the best thing. So, and if the Lord messes up, if the Lord doesn't do it the way I want it to be done, I need to be able to put a stop to what the Lord's doing. It sounds ridiculous, but that's the way we live. That's the way we live. We trust the Lord. But we hold off just a little bit. So what does it mean to trust in all things? Like, and I don't mean just say the words. I mean actually do the thing. Do the trusting. What does it take for us to trust God? Like, really, like, more than just show up to church on Sunday morning, trust God, but actually trust God with everything a part of our life. To trust God with our church, with us here in this building. To trust God with our building. To trust God with our home, with our family, with our finances. Like, what does it mean to really trust God with every aspect of your life? Not just a couple, not, you know, I trust God with my family, but when it comes to my finances, I'm in charge. Now, what does it mean to actually trust God? So that's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to get started over the course of the next 3 weeks. I hope, my prayer is that we'll have an answer to that question. What does it mean to trust God? How do I trust God? Hopefully, by the end of these 3 weeks, we will be ready to actually say, if we're not already, we will be ready to say, yes, I trust God. Holy, completely, done. I trust God. Hopefully, by the end of these next 3 weeks, we'll be able to do that. But, or if we can't do that, at least we'll be honest about it. Right? At least we'll be able to say, okay, Lord, I said I trusted you, but really I only trust you like 97% of the time. Like, at least we'll be honest. Hopefully, that's kind of my goal over these next 3 weeks. And so, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3. I don't know if you know, there's a verse that says, trust in all things. Trust in the Lord with all things, right? We see the verse. We're not going to get there yet. We're going to start off in the first four verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life will be and peace will be added to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of men, of God and man. Now, there's something I want you to, as we go through this series for the next few weeks, there's something I want you to notice about what's going on. It's really kind of interesting. You'll notice that the odd, in your Bible, you know, when you open your Bible, in the odd numbered verses, God gives us a command. 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. In the odd verses, God's giving us a command. But then in the even verses, he's giving us a promise that's based on that command. It's just kind of an interesting way that this is written out. So let's keep that in mind. And here's what I want to do first. First, I want to look at the positive. I want to look at what do we get? So what are the promises of God? That's what we're going to look at first. The promises of God. And I'm just going to tell you, first of all, they are full and peaceful life. That's the first promise that God gives in this section, in this series, is a full and peaceful life. And the second promise is influence of others. A full and peaceful life, An influence of others. We can influence other people, in other words. That's what that means. Now, these promises, I'm going to say something, and maybe you're going to throw something at me later. I don't know. These promises feel a little bit shallow to me on the surface, just the surface level. I'm not talking about like really getting it. It just feels like that's it. So let's actually look at it. Let's not just skim over the words. I know a lot of times we read the Bible. I do this, and I assume you do it too. We read the Bible and we just kind of read the words, right? And we believe the words, but we don't really like understand really what's being said there. So that's what I want to do here. I want to actually take a look at what these words mean. Because ultimately, I'd like for us to see that in fact, we can trust God with every aspect of our lives. That there's not an aspect of our life that we cannot trust God in. And I believe that this passage begins to show that. And maybe will help us understand it a little bit. So let's take a brief look at first promise. First promise we see is a full and peaceful life. A full and peaceful life. So what does it mean to have a full and peaceful life? What does that even mean? What kind of promise is that? A full and peaceful life. What does it mean to have a full life? Well, I believe in order to fully understand, in order to fully appreciate what the biblical authors wrote, we need to actually just go back and see what they wrote. And understand kind of the language that they're using back there. So here's what I did. I looked it up, and this phrase, length of days, is actually an idiom. It's a saying. What it actually means is to have a prolonged life. Length of days means to have an actual prolonged life. You will have more years in your life. That's what that literally means. Now this next phrase, and I think maybe a more impactful phrase here is the phrase years of life. The way it's translated in the English is years of life, and that term refers to the earthly physical life and that it is a life worth living. It is a life worth living. This is the earthly physical life that is combined with the spiritual blessedness that you receive by obeying God, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit, that's what this is referring to. But this is just the first stage of that promise. This is just the tip of that promise. From my perspective, the second half of the promise is actually far more impactful. It's far more meaningful. You see, the second part of this promise is that these long years of spiritual blessings, there's going to be a lot of years, these long years of spiritual blessing will provide true peace, or shalom. Here in this passage, we're able to see that a part of this promise is to have true peace. In other words, to have a life of wholeness, of whole and complete restoration that only God can bring. There's no possible way to experience shalom outside of God. Now, I put on our Facebook group this morning, hopefully you had a chance to look at it. If not, go home and take a look at it. A little video just explaining what shalom is and the full deep implications of God's peaceful shalom, that it is a life of wholeness. Now, I want to be clear also in the process of this. I just want to be clear. This word can be translated as to be financially prosperous as well. This word literally translates into that way. However, a more full understanding, and this is important, a more full understanding of shalom, of financial shalom, would be to understand that we will have peace and health physically, fiscally, and relationally. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, hey, Billy, what are you getting at here? Are you trying to like preach some kind of health, wealth? No, that's not what's being done here. When we keep God's commandment that we're going to look at in a minute, we're going to look at this. When we keep God's commandment, then you will experience God's peace that shows us physical, financial, and relational health. And I want to be very clear. This does not mean that we will have man's version of physical, financial, and relational health. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we're going to have God's version. These are two very different things. There are times when, according to our standards, to my standards, to your standards, there are times that I would consider myself to be poor. And I know you guys have all experienced this. There's times that you personally have experienced. From your standards, you're poor. But by God's standards, you're rich. These are two very different things. And when we separate man's standards from God's standards, and we think that we are that God is promising us man's standards, then that's a false gospel. Because God is promising us God's standard. When we begin to grasp that, it makes other passages make a little bit more sense. For instance, later on, Jesus talks about how it's very difficult, it's practically impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, right? That's because he's referring to the rich man as in God, man's standards, not God's standards. See, God's peace, God's shalom, is far greater than man's peace. That's why we know that God gives us the peace that passes all understanding. It makes no sense. The peace that we actually receive from God makes zero sense when we think of it in terms of man's standard. But God's standard is far greater. And this is the promise that we've been given. The other promise that we see here is the influence of others. You might look at that, I think, okay, the influence of others, what does that even mean? What does it mean to influence other people? Like, should I even be thinking about influencing other people? That's not my job. I'm not a, what is it, TikToker, Instagram? I know words. But here's the thing. If I can influence other people through my life, and if I'm focusing on God's standards and not man's standards, then where am I influencing them to? I'm influencing them to God. Makes it far easier to share the gospel with somebody. It makes it far easier to have conversations with people because people know that you're real. Because you have been able to receive this gift from God to influence other people. It also means that, you know, maybe that helps our relational experiences with other people. A more literal translation, however, would be, listen, to find favor and understanding with God and others. This is the literal promise that God's giving. To find favor and understanding with God and others. It's pretty simple. It's pretty basic. It's pretty, you know, just regular. Basically, other people will be able to recognize, listen, this is interesting, other people will be able to recognize the competence, the individual of this, or the intelligence of this individual. And why is that important? Why does it matter if someone else is able to understand your competence? Why does it matter if someone else is able to be influenced by you? Well, the same reason I told you a minute ago. Because then we can influence people for Christ. And when we're focused on God's standards and not man's standards, and then I'm not gonna use that focus or that influence to take people away from God because I'm focused on God's standards, then I can influence people to God. I'll be a person that they can talk to, that they can come to when they're struggling with various whatevers. That's what this commandment is, or this promise actually means. And they would recognize this because of the shalom of God. This is why they're able to talk to you. Because they don't know why. They're like, okay, you're not going to talk to somebody and they're going to know that they can go to you and they're going to say, oh, well, you clearly have the shalom of God. No, what's going to happen is somebody's going to feel like they can come to you, they can talk to you. They don't know why. they just feel like they can trust you. Because there's something different. When we're focused on God's standards, listen, this is important. When we're focused on God's standards, there's just something different about you than about everyone else. The shalom of God is present, allowing other people to begin to see God through you. I want to be very clear. This is not saying that when we do these commandments, if I do these commandments that we're about to talk to, that I will be rich and healthy and prosperous in everything that I do from man's standards. That's not what this is saying. This is saying you will be rich, you will be healthy, and you will be prosperous from God's standards. From God pointing you, from God leading you. And financially prosperous means something vastly different in God's standards than it does in man's standards. So, what do we do in order to get this shalom from God? How do we get this peace? This peace that makes my relationships and my health and my situations that I'm experiencing makes it peaceful with God. How do I get to that point? What are the commandments from God? Well, here they are. Two things. It's really easy. Don't forget. Do not forget. And hold to truth and mercy. Don't forget and hold to truth and mercy. Or you could say faithfulness even. We've seen the promises. The promise of God's shalom. And it sure is attractive to think about that I can have God's peace in my situation. Because listen, especially coming into Christmas, we all have situations that we're experiencing. Maybe the loss of a loved one, maybe some financial stress, maybe whatever it is. Coming into the holidays, we all have stress. So how do I, in the midst of that stress, experience God's shalom? Experience God's peace. How do I get there? Now, it's really worth noting that Proverbs, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Proverbs was written by a guy named Solomon. Solomon is the wisest king in all of history. That's who wrote this book. That's the guy that wrote this book. So the wise king is giving us his words about how to trust the Lord. How do I trust the Lord in my situation, whether it's financial, relational, spiritual, whatever it is, my job, whatever the situation is, how do I trust the Lord in that situation? And that's what this king is gonna tell us. Now, I'll tell you too that for me, I'm just gonna speak for me as a Christian, as a person. I can remember early on in my faith, I did. Remember, I told you the story about the driver's ed car. Early on in my Christian walk, that was absolutely me. Like when I went through driver's ed and then when I've thought back through it after I became a Christian, I kind of saw this similarity and I said, I literally said it to myself, God, I'm going to let you take control of my life, but I'm going to have the brakes just in case you mess up. Like that was my literal thought process. But over time, as I trusted the Lord more and more, as I exercised my trust more and more, well, I found out I didn't actually need the brakes. Like, I could move on from the brakes. I could graduate from needing those brakes on the Lord. As I see God's promises come true, as I see the faithfulness of God over and over and over and over, whenever, now, let me be clear, when I don't mess it up, when I don't get in the way, God is so good when I open my eyes to see what God has done. And so over time, my trust in the Lord grew. And I was able to trust a little bit more. And I was able to trust a little bit more. And hopefully, I would say early on, I said things like, hopefully I have the faith to endure horrible things. I can remember early on in my faith was shortly after the Columbine shooting incident. That was in 1999. I came to faith shortly after that. And I can remember thinking to myself, I hope I have the faith to be able to do that, to be able to stand up for the Lord in the face of a gun being pointed at my head. I hope I have that faith. But I'm just not sure I could do it. Like, that's what I said, that's what I told myself for my personal situation. Now, we grow as Christians. Our trust grows. Our faith grows. And over time, we're able to say, yes, I trust the Lord enough with my car. I trust the Lord enough with my house. I trust the Lord enough with my family. That God, you are in control. You are overseeing all of these things. You're sovereign. And I trust you, Lord. Now, that doesn't mean I'm just going to do nothing. It doesn't mean I'm just going to sit on the couch and just say, okay, you know, everything's fine. No, I'm going to study the Lord. I'm going to study the Word. I'm going to provide for my family. I'm going to go to work. You know, I got to do the things that I've got to do. But I trust the Lord to care for me, to care for my family, to care for everyone around me. I trust the Lord that my faith, as I continue to see God's faithfulness, my personal faith grows. And I pray that's the truth for all of us. And I think that's what we see through Proverbs. We see how to grow our faith. How do we exercise our faith? How do we allow our faith to grow stronger? How do we learn to rely on our faith? And that's really, that's the ultimate goal of what we want to see accomplished as we go through this series is how do I learn to actually trust God with my situation? Listen, I know we have a lot of people struggling with work issues right now. So how do I trust the Lord to guide me into what He's calling me to do, whatever that may be? How do I trust the Lord? I know we've got people that are struggling financially. And again, the question is, okay, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills, but how do I trust the Lord in the midst of not knowing where the next paycheck is going to come? That's hard, y'all. I don't know if you guys have experienced this. But sometimes it's really hard to trust the Lord. The reason is, and I want to be clear about this. The reason sometimes it's hard to trust the Lord is because we're so focused on man's standard instead of on God's standard. And these are two very different things. So how do we get there? How do we get to the point of trusting the Lord like that? Well, first thing we do is we do not forget. So it's the first thing, the first commandment. Do not forget. And literally, keep teaching the Lord. Keep the teaching of the Lord in your mind and in your heart. In other words, what we see here is something. It says, devotion to God and devotion to wisdom are actually inseparable. If you want to be wise, and I know we all do, if we want to be wise, then we must be devoted to God. The person that seeks to gain knowledge without first submitting to the Lord searches for knowledge in vain. You do not receive knowledge outside of the Lord. You might know some facts. You might know some situations. But you do not have knowledge outside of the Lord. You do not have wisdom outside of the Lord. The knowledge that you have will be a knowledge that's been distorted because of a worldview that's outside of the Lord. A perfect example of this is the study of creation of the world. There are scientists, there are people all over, and they have, you know, a million and one causes for the earth's creation. But when we use science, and I know that's a horrible word for Christians a lot of times, but when we use science with the right perspective, then science is actually our friend. So when I look at the creation of the world, when I look at the origins of the earth, when I look at how did this all come about, and I start from the perspective of God is real and the Bible is true, then I begin to understand and science begins to make sense and I can actually see things. But we have to start with the presupposition such as God created the earth and everything in it. That's literally what happened. When I start with that perspective, then I can see how things fit together and how things work. However, if I start with a presupposition that there is no God, then we're constantly searching for something that we cannot hope to find. We're constantly searching for something that cannot be found because there is a God, and that God created the earth, and that God made promises to you and me. And there are things that we should be doing for the Lord. And I don't mean that in terms of you have to have a checklist of things to do for the Lord. I mean that in terms of our devotion to the Lord needs to be focused sometimes. So how did all of this exist? How do we exist as a race of people in this perfect little bubble of space? You cannot find that outside of the Lord. So you see, when we say don't forget, we have to realize that we cannot forget the basic truths of Scripture. The basic realities of Scripture. We cannot forget. We cannot search for wisdom outside of Scripture. Scripture, listen, I know, you know, some of you guys may not buy into this, but this book right here actually contains the answer to every single issue that you will ever experience in your entire life, or that mankind has ever experienced. Now, it doesn't say, I just want to be clear, it doesn't say, Billy, this is how to fix your computer. Step one, step two, that's not what's in here. But what's in here are the truths of Scripture that allow us to deal with various issues that we face in our life. So we cannot forget the basic truths of Scripture. The second command that we're looking at this morning is to hold to truth and mercy. And this concept that we've seen in verse 3 actually shows how far removed Proverbs is from the idea of simple external obedience resulting in the world, resulting in reward. In other words, Proverbs is not saying, if you do things, you get things. That's not what's being said here. You do well at work, you receive recognition and a paycheck. That is obedience and reward. That's different from love and mercy. So how do we hold to love and mercy? How do we hold to love and faithfulness? Because that's very different. This command to maintain love and faithfulness shows us, this is important, shows us that God is not interested in the external obedience, but instead the internal attitude of the heart. God is not interested in you simply obeying so that you can obey. He's interested in your heart, the motive, the driver of why you do what we do. Listen, as Christians, we mess up all the time. But even in my mistakes, God can be pleased because I desire, my focus is on the Lord. You see, love and faithfulness, love and mercy, these are things other people cannot see. I can't see that in you necessarily. You can't see that in me. These are heart attitudes. And that's what the Lord is focused on here, is the attitude of the heart. Where is your attitude? Where is your heart? And this command from God has in view the inner integrity that manifests itself in all interactions with both God and man. So how do we influence other people? Our heart is focused on God. That gives us our internal integrity that's focused on God. And that is what is the driver in all of our relationships between God and other people. You see, these are the things that we're to do. And we do these things when we begin to trust God, Listen, like I said, I'm not talking about the external actions of writing a check or giving somebody a ride or whatever the thing may be. I'm not talking about the external actions here. When we begin to trust God with our heart, with our internal motivation, then we'll begin to experience God's peace, God's shalom. And we'll begin to be able to see God's influence. And others will be able to begin to see that in you. when we, in our internal hearts, in my motivator, in my doer, in my want to doer, in my driver, whatever you want to describe it as, when I, on the inside, in my internal heart, when my motive is to be pleasing to God, is to be focused on God, then others will see that. Listen, the more you trust God, the more others will see God in you. I know I've talked to a lot of people over the years, and they've said things like, I just want other people to trust me. I just want other people to see God in me. Well, how do we do that? Billy, how do I live a life that allows other people to see God in me? The more you trust God, the more others see God in you. That's true at work. That's true at home. That's true here. Everywhere you go. Listen, and I've said this before. If you trust God here, but then you walk out the doors and you become a different person, then you don't actually trust God. We don't have different personalities, we don't have different motivations depending on where we are. Because when I begin to trust God, the more and more I trust God, the more others are able to see God in me. The more you're willing to trust God with everything. Not 99%, and I'm still going to hold on to the brakes. I'm going to ask you the question this morning. Are you willing to trust God with everything that you have? Listen, that's a hard question. Because a lot of us have a lot of things. And I'm not just talking about physical things. Cars, houses, campers, grills, whatever. A lot of us have things. I'm not just talking about that. Am I willing to trust God with everything that I have? Your finances? What does it mean to be sacrificially generous? Both to this church and to elsewhere. Listen, as a church, praise God, we have something like, and we don't have the final count yet. We'll let you know when we have the final count. But something like 44 Operation Christmas Child boxes. That is amazing. Last month, we raised for a particular situation that we all had, for a particular cause, we raised $10,000 as a church. That's on top of our normal offerings. Listen, we are being sacrificially generous. Praise God. Amen. So as a church, praise God. But I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about you. Are you willing to trust God with your finances? What about your relationships? Family relationships? Work relationships? Friend relationships? What about these relationships? Are you allowing your trust in God to influence your relationships with other people? Because if so, then they're going to be able to see God in you. And let me just tell you, if you're married here this morning and you are having marital strife, we all have this sometimes, right? We all sometimes get annoyed and don't want to see our spouse or don't want to hear the voice or don't want to, you're chewing too loud. Like, there's always something, right, that just kind of happens. But I'm talking about, are you having real marital strife? And you ask yourself, how do I fix that? How do we come together as husband and wife? Well, are you trusting God with your relationship? Or are you trying to do it all yourself? Are you trying to figure it all out? Listen, there's something powerful when a couple prays together. I don't mean praying for your meal. I don't mean, dear Lord, bless this food for our bodies. That's not what I'm saying. There's something powerful when a husband and wife prays together and trusts God together. You want to fix a relationship. Put your relationship in front of God. Trust God with your relationship. Allow other people to see God in you. What about your life? What about allowing God to use you in your life and your skills and your abilities and your whatevers in powerful ways at this church, at home, and everywhere else you go? Listen, some of you are very skilled in various aspects of life. Are you willing to trust God with that skill to use it to glorify Him in some way? Whether that's construction or painting, well, I guess painting is construction, or, you know, computer work or data entry or whatever it is, are you willing to use your skill, your ability in some way to serve God? Are you willing to trust God with that? Are you willing to be sacrificially generous with your time as much as you are with your checkbook? Are you willing to actually serve somebody in need? I know it can be inconvenient to serve somebody, right? When they call you up and they say, I've got a flat tire, and you're like, oh. I know it can be inconvenient. But are you willing to trust God enough with those relationships that He can use you at a moment's notice for whatever's needed? Are you willing to trust God in everything? Or are you holding on to the brakes this morning? Are you holding on just to make sure God doesn't take it too far? Just to make sure God doesn't ask too much? Just to make sure, you've got to make sure your situation is taken care of, and then once you get you figured out, then you can trust God with everything else. Are you holding on to the brakes? Or are you actually willing to say, God, I fully trust You with every aspect of my life? Listen, this morning I've talked a lot about trusting God and a little bit about what that means, what that looks like. I want to invite you, those of you that are online, if you're here, if you've never taken the opportunity to trust God with your life, and I mean for the first time, then take that opportunity today. Reach out to me, to one of the elders, send an email. Listen, all of our contact information is on the website. It's on Facebook. It's everywhere. Reach out and let's talk about what it means to put your trust, to put your faith in the Lord. And that goes for if you're here this morning and you say, you know, Billy, I trusted the Lord with my life when I was 5 years old. Praise God. I have been faithful throughout my whole life. But Billy, I'm struggling because there's this little section of my life, my kids, my family, my finances, my whatever it is, and I'm just really struggling, Billy, with letting go of that thing. Then I want to encourage you to reach out. Give me a call, give me a text. Let's get a cup of coffee and let's talk about it. Let's talk about what it means to actually trust the Lord with your life and what that looks like. We're in the month of November. The month of November, we have Thanksgiving, and we're always, you know, you see all over Facebook, especially, you know, you're supposed to put a thing that you're thankful for every day, I think, and we see things like this all the time. You talk to friends, you know, what are you thankful for? Well, are you thankful today that you can actually put your trust in the Lord with 100% of your life? And allow God to manage whatever the situation is. Allow God to lead you. Allow God to give you wisdom because you're relying on Him instead of yourself. I know it's a subtle difference sometimes. So let's have a cup of coffee. Let's talk about it. Let's pray, guys. Father God, this morning I thank You, Lord, for who You are, for what You do, for everything about You, Lord. We all have situations that we're struggling with. Maybe it's illness of a loved one. Maybe it's a financial illness. Maybe there's a relationship that's broken, Lord, that we desperately desire to to have fixed, and we just don't know how. But Lord, you've promised in your word right here that we just read this morning, you've promised your peace. You've promised that these relationships can be made whole when we trust you. But Lord, we also acknowledge that my standards and your standards are very different things. And so, Lord, this morning I just ask that you show us individually, that you will guide us to a vision, a picture of your standards, of what it means to trust you, of this peace that passes all understanding, this shalom that you give to us, Lord. Just give us a glimpse of that. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities that you give us to test our faith, to exercise our faith so that our faith can continue to grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And so, Lord, this morning, if there's anyone here that's been holding back, I just ask that you would convict their heart, Lord, to show them who you are and what it means to trust you. Lord, if there's anyone online that's joining us, that's listening, Lord, we just ask that you convict their heart and show them what it means to actually trust you. Thank you, Lord, for your son. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for everything you continue to do. Thank you, Lord, because we know that you have amazing things in store for this church and for Christians. And so I thank you, Lord, for that. In your name we pray. Amen.